All right, if you will please join me in opening your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings 12. Tonight our text will be verses 1 through 3. So we'll begin by reading those verses. 2 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. In 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for each and every person that has assembled here tonight. Lord, we're here to honor you, and we thank you for the privilege that we have to just be able to worship you, to be in your presence. Thank you for the music that ministers to our hearts, and Lord, thank you for just your many rich spiritual blessings in our lives. Lord, we thank you for giving Hannah and Miss Dawn another birthday. We pray for strength and health for both of them, that they might continue to love and serve you, Lord. We pray for every blessing upon them throughout this coming year. May it be the best year that they've known yet in their Christian experience. Just pour out your blessings on them as well as upon their families. Lord, as we open your word, we want to stop and ask for your help. Lord, we are weak, we are insufficient in and of ourselves, but Lord, your grace and your spirit can make us able ministers of your word tonight and able servants to put into practice what you'll teach us and what you'll remind us of. Please use your word in our hearts. We ask that your spirit would guide in everything that we say and do and think. And may you be honored throughout the remainder of this evening and all our fellowship time. May it just be a sweet time in your presence, encouragement with your people. Please do guide us now in the study of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's heartbreaking to hear and to know of many sons and daughters who were, quote, brought up in church, but who today are neither in church nor continuing in the truth of God's word nor in a close personal walk with the Lord. And certainly there are many factors in this seeming trend, and yet this need not, should not, and must not be so with us. So what is the answer? Well, as parents and grandparents, we must have the Word of God, first of all, in our own heads and in our hearts so that we might know it, live it, and teach it in truth to our children and grandchildren. But then as children, as sons and daughters, we also must take the personal responsibility to heed the positive instruction we receive and let the truth of God move from our heads to our hearts. We must let God's truth, God's will, become the very fabric and fiber of our thoughts, words, actions, attitudes, appearances, and appetites. And only as we each fulfill our roles in giving instruction, receiving instruction, and personalizing it, will we not become another spiritual shipwreck, another casualty, another statistic of spiritual failure in these perilous last days. And tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together, but continue thou. But continue thou. And we're going to see how Jehoash, or Joash, as he is elsewhere named in Scripture, this king of Judah, we're going to see in him an example of one who received some very good and godly instruction, but who only continued in that instruction for as long as he was under the support of strong spiritual influences and authority. He only continued basically for a little while, but when that outside constraint was no longer there, he turned away. What we learn here is going to, first of all, help us to see the benefit and even the necessity of godly spiritual influence and instruction. We need godly instruction. We need those spiritual influences in our lives. But beyond that, it's going to encourage us then to be those who provide that influence for those within our sphere of influence, and then to personalize and internalize the positive instruction that we have received. So to guide our message, let's note three key ideas seen in our text regarding this man's testimony of Joash. We'll note, first of all, the dysfunction, secondly, the co-function, and then thirdly, the malfunction. So let's begin with this thought in verse 1, the dysfunction. By the way, if you're interested, the parallel passage of Scripture to what we're studying tonight is found in 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 through 3. Again, you have the same basic information with a little different detail that we'll mention in passing tonight. So let's begin with that thought again, the dysfunction. Okay, and this takes us a little bit further back in Joash's testimony as given in Scripture, but it is very fair for us to say that Joash was born into a dysfunctional family. He was born into dysfunctional circumstances. As we know from our earlier studies, Joash's father Ahaziah had been killed by Jehu when Jehu was in Jezreel executing judgment upon the house of Ahab. Ahaziah comes up to visit his uncle, see how he's doing, how he's recovering from his wounds. And so Jehu kills Ahaziah. That took place when Joash was 1 year old. Okay, that means that Joash grew up without the influence of his father, godly or ungodly. Statistics show that the absence of a father has devastating effects, particularly in the lives of sons. So he's born into a family, he's brought up in a family where he does not have the influence of his biological father. As we read on in our scripture text, it's understood that, again, that took place in Joash's first year when he was still an infant. Now, having been providentially preserved by God, Joash at age 7, which was at the same time when Jehu was in his 7th year of his reign over northern Israel, Joash is anointed as king over Judah. His reign, as verse 1 tells us, lasted for 40 years. That was a long time. That was the same period of time that David, Solomon, and Saul each respectively reigned over the united kingdom of Judah and Israel. This was a long reign. But of course, having begun his reign at age 7, Joash could have reigned much longer had he not turned from the lighted paths of righteousness. As we're going to see, Joash fell far short of his spiritual as well as political potential. So he grows up without the absence of his father. His testimony, though he reigned a long time, could have been and should have been much longer. Verse 12, the last sentence of the verse tells us that his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. So we do have mention of Joash's mother. The mention of his mother Zibiah helps us to distinguish Joash's mother from other of Ahaziah's wives, like he was the son of this wife. But it also helps us to understand that though he didn't have the influence of his father, he very likely did have some contact with his mother even as he's brought up in the temple. She is from Beersheba. This means that she was a southern girl. You've heard that expression, from Dan to Beersheba. Well, that was like saying from north to south. This was the southernmost city in Israel's territory. So she's a southern girl. He's brought up in this family. It was not a perfect family. His father dies when he's 1. His mother has some influence in his life, but not much. But again, since Adam and Eve sinned, each one of us, like this man Joash, has been born into a dysfunctional home to one degree or another. You know, the psychologists, Christian counselors even describe dysfunctional homes. And if we're honest, we'd have to say, which one isn't? When you go all the way back to the beginning, to one degree or another, when you take a home that is made up of sinners, saved or lost, there's always going to be some measure of dysfunction, some measure of trouble. But this does not have to define us. Joash, we see first of all in his testimony the dysfunction of the home into which he was born. But secondly, there's this thought, the co-function or the con-function, okay? That word simply means to function or act or behave with or together, to cooperate. And as you read there in verse 2, Joash is described as doing right in the sight of the Lord with or under the influence of his uncle, Jehoiada, the high priest. Okay, when Ahaziah, Joash's father, was killed, his grandmother decided that she wanted to reign over Judah. And so she kills all of the royal seed. However, Joash's aunt, Jehosheba, who was the sister of Ahaziah, she rescues him. She's also the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest. And so she brings this one-year-old child, this infant, into the temple where he is cared for by his aunt, Jehosheba, as well as his uncle, Jehoiada, who is the high priest. He's taken into protective secret custody in the temple. And there, Joash is nurtured physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Being brought up in the temple, Joash had the special privilege of receiving personal instruction by the high priest. And in that culture especially, the high priest would have been one of the most educated men, particularly in the things of the Lord, the Word of God, throughout all the land. I mean, this would be, if you could choose your teacher, this is the one that you would want to have. But he was not without his faults. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 2 and 3. So this, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. So, acting as his father, Jehoiada takes two wives for his nephew Joash. Okay, that was polygamy. That was against the clearly revealed will of God. And you just imagine, you know, what that was like. One day, Joash is there in the temple working on his homework, and Uncle Jehoiada comes in and says, "Hey, Joash, come into the outer court. I want to show you something." He comes out there, and he's like, take a look at this number right here. You know, she only has to shave her beard like once a month. You know, isn't she a dandy? Wow, thanks, Uncle Jehoiada. A couple days later, Joash, come out into the courtyard. Let me show you something. Check this out. I've got you a second wife. It's like, okay, thanks, Uncle Jehoiada. It probably wasn't exactly like that, but this certainly was not an ideal situation. And never was it a positive thing when people wavered and veered from the will of God. But nevertheless, in spite of that one thing, that Jehoiada takes two wives for Joash, he was a good and godly teacher, and he had a positive influence on Joash. 2 Chronicles 24:16 gives this testimony concerning Jehoiada, and they buried Jehoiada in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. So, yeah, Jehoiada did good. He did some good, and this man, Joash, has that influence. Joash receives this influence, and he is positively affected by it, and that contains some good lessons for us. Like Jehoiada, who basically served as father to Joash, we as parents have the responsibility to teach our children what to believe and how to live. We ought to instruct our children just as Jehoiada instructed Joash. We ought to teach them to do right in the sight of the Lord, in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." If parents fulfill the first responsibility given in that verse, they give their children the very best opportunity than to fulfill the second half of the verse. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Joash is taught how to behave himself in the house of God, in the temple. Paul instructed Timothy in that same way, by way of application. And so parents today ought to teach their children how to behave themselves inside and outside the house of God, as a part of God's household, as a part of His family. Children should be taught reverence and proper respect for the house of God. They should be taught to live out their faith every day when away from the house of God. Paul also gave this testimony concerning Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you want an interesting study, you can parallel and contrast the lives of Timothy and Joash. Both of them, as far as Scripture is concerned, basically grow up in the absence of the influence of a godly father. As far as Scripture is concerned, Timothy's father was an unbeliever. He was simply described as a Greek. And no further information is given. And Joash's father, of course, died. And yet both of these men had the benefit of godly teachers. Timothy had the benefit of a faithful mother and grandmother who taught him the Scriptures from his childhood. Again, Timothy was born into a dysfunctional home, but that didn't define him. And we all have, faults. Our best teachers have faults, but it doesn't have to define us. So Joash received some good instruction. Again, like Joash, we need to recognize the benefit of and our need for good and godly instruction through parents, teachers, and spiritual leaders. This was a good thing. This was a good influence in Joash's life that he was instructed by Jehoiada, the high priest. We too need positive spiritual reinforcement of godly influences and instruction. We need to be willing to hear and heed that instruction if we're going to be helped by it, even if it's given to us through people who, like Jehoiada, are not without flaws. Suppose Joash said, I don't have a chance. My dad died when I was 1 year old. Here I am. I can't even live a normal life. I'm basically kept in secret custody inside the temple. And I've got an uncle, who's out, gathering wives for me. What can I learn from him? Well, he could learn much from him. We need to make sure that we recognize that we need instruction, because if we are left to ourselves, we will ruin our lives. We will become spiritual shipwrecks on the sea of life. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. If we're going to continue, we first of all have to start in the right direction. And we're not going to go in the right direction unless we're willing to hear, to heed godly instruction. Jesus, on many occasions, as he taught, would say things like, "Look, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear." The last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, says it this way: "If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear." Like, even if you don't have two of them, if you've only got one good ear, just use it and listen. You need this message. We need to hear these things. Thirdly, there is the malfunction. Verse 2, Joash or Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. In spite of the good instruction which he received, especially from the high priest, Joash malfunctioned. That is, he failed to do right and well in some ways, as expressed both explicitly and implicitly in our text. In verse 3, we see that Joash's first malfunction was in the form of compromise. This took place even while under the influence of Jehoiada. This is not after Uncle Jehoiada dies. Jehoash does right in the sight of the Lord, but as verse 3 begins with that contrast and conjunction, but the high places were not taken away. This is not a good thing. As we saw in earlier messages, the temple of Baal had been destroyed. Baal worship was put down. And yet these high places remained as part of the people's worship. They sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Well, what were the high places? Okay, these were idolatrous hilltop altars that had been left in Canaan when the people took possession of the land. When they went in and conquered Israel, or conquered the land of Canaan, they drove out those foreign nations. These people had used these idolatrous altars in the worship of their fake gods. Okay, the Lord had commanded his people that when they went in there, they were to tear down the high places. They were to completely remove them. Judges chapter 2 and verse 2 makes that very plain. However, the people spared these high places. They eventually began incorporating them in their own worship. Hey, why can't we use these things? They used them to worship their gods. Why can't we use them to worship our God? And so they have hilltop altars. This would then be perpetuated by succeeding generations who not only allowed those high places to remain, but they even built their own new high places of worldly worship. And our text, though, makes it understood that Joash should have removed the high places. Had he removed the high places, it would have been to his credit. But they remained throughout the reign of Joash. It would continue beyond, far beyond him until the reign of Hezekiah. And finally, under the reign of Hezekiah, these high places would be taken away. 2 Kings 18:4 says, he removed the high places, break the images, and cut down the groves. He even took that serpent of brass that Moses had made and put on the pole, and he crushed it, stamped it to powder, destroyed it, got rid of it because the people were worshiping that. Someone said one of the blemishes on Joash's reign, even during Jehoiada's lifetime, was his failure to take away the high places. He was not alone among the kings in his failure to remove them, but this does not excuse him. These high places militated against any sense of unity. They encouraged diverse practices, and they promoted idolatry. He should have gotten rid of the high places. He malfunctioned. In spite of his dysfunction, he was given some good instruction, but he failed to follow through on that in not removing these high places. And his failure to remove these high places reminds us that there are things in our lives. We could describe it as unspiritual baggage from our life before believing on Christ that we need to remove. Baggage that carries over when we enter into new life. Things that are there that need to be removed. If we do not, it will adversely affect our relationship, our service, and our testimony for the Lord. We must not leave any fly in the ointment. May it not be said of us, yeah, they did right in the sight of the Lord, but you know, they just never did remove those high places. They didn't go all in and all out for the Lord. There was still that area that they just wanted to hold on to. May that not be said of us. Now, the details of it are not given in our text, but it is implied in verse 2. That the second area of malfunction in Joash's life was, there was compromise, but then there was this failure that he failed to continue in the truth. This is going to be verified later in the account of Joash's life. After the death of Jehoiada the high priest, Joash is going to apostatize. He's going to turn away from the Lord. And it's implied in verse 2, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So he does right as long as he's being instructed and influenced by Jehoiada. But when that spiritual support is gone, Joash will malfunction. He will bomb spiritually. He will fail to continue in the things that he had learned the good instruction he had received. One commentary said, as well as Joash's shortcoming in not removing the high places, there were also other serious blemishes on his record later on in his reign that make for disturbing reading. Sadly, Joash failed to live up to the privilege of being taught by this godly high priest. It almost defies belief that he would sink as low as he did once Jehoiada had passed away. Joash listened to divine truth, divine instruction, but he failed to be fully persuaded by it. Maybe this is one of the secrets to why so many are quote-unquote brought up in church. They sat in Sunday school, they were in Awanas, they're in master clubs, King's Kids, they're taught the truth, but then they at some point bomb out spiritually and now they're not in church at all. Could it be this? He listened to divine instruction, but failed to be fully persuaded by it. Divine truth was in his head, but not in his heart. Knowledge without personal application of the Word of God will lead to departure once a person is put to the test. Joash was put to the test when he lost the daily support of Jehoiada, and he was found wanting. So many times it happens. As long as they're in the home, under the constraints and of godly influences, going the right way, and then all of a sudden they get out from under that, and it's like, spiritual shipwreck. What happened? Because someone failed to let the truth of God move from here to here, from the head to the heart. As the Lord's servants today, we first of all need to understand this, that our high priest, our great high priest, is not Jehoiada. It is Jehovah. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ever lives, and his instruction is ever with us to instruct us all the days of our lives. In fact, he's given us of his Spirit to be a constant guide. And so, unlike this man Joash, he could have said, well, you know, I was doing okay, but I really needed that spiritual support structure in my life. And when it was gone, I failed. We don't have that excuse because we have a great high priest who lives forever. His Spirit lives within us. His Word. We have access to His Word. And by the way, this would have been one of the contributing factors in Joash's failure, that he did not personalizing the Scriptures, because one of the requirements that God made for those kings was that when they sat on the throne, they themselves were to write their own copy of the Word of God, and they were to read in it all the days of their life, so that their hearts wouldn't be lifted up with pride, and so that they wouldn't turn to the right or to the left, turn away from God. And the Scriptures don't specifically state it, but perhaps the silence about it is argument enough that he didn't do it. Had it in his head, perhaps, as long as someone was telling him, you know, spoon-feeding him Uncle Jehoiada, but he's not taking it in for himself. He's not loving the Word of God personally. Again, we need to receive God's truth, not merely into our heads, but into our hearts. We need to take personal responsibility for remaining tender in conscience, obedient to the Scriptures, and fully devoted to knowing and loving our Lord. With or without other godly influences, we must choose that we will continue in the truth. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When Jesus did the will of God, he set his face like a flint, and we can't follow a Lord who set his face like a flint when we're looking back. We've got to be committed to follow through. Again, Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, save from spiritual shipwreck. And then he said this in 2 Timothy 3. Verses 13 and 14. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Like Joash, Timothy was born into a dysfunctional home. Like Joash, Timothy received some good instruction. They both received the Word of God from the time they were young. Jehoiada teaches Joash the Scriptures from the time he's 1 all the way up through 7 and beyond. Timothy knew the Scriptures from a child. His mother and grandmother had taught him. They both received instruction. They were born into dysfunction. But the difference is that one was persuaded of the truth. That word persuaded, when Paul says, the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That word assured of means to be convinced, to be fully persuaded. In other words, the word that he heard was not just in his head, but he let it go to his heart. He was convinced of it. He embraced it. He personally was convinced of it. And that made the difference. Timothy would continue in the things that he had learned. But Joash failed to do that. Let's not only learn the truth, but let's be personally assured of it. Let's be convinced of it. Let's be persuaded of it. And then determined by God's grace that we will continue in those things with complete commitment all the days of our lives. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, in spite of each one of us being born into home situations that we could look at and say, well, that gives us an excuse or some reason for spiritual failure. We're thankful, Lord, that those things do not have to define us, that in spite of the dysfunction that's there, we have received good and godly instruction, even if through people with faults and failures, sometimes glaring. We thank you that you give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, I pray tonight that it would be impressed upon our hearts the need for us to personalize and internalize your truth, that we would be persuaded of it, that we ourselves would commit, that we are going to follow you all the days of our lives. Yes, when we have those outward spiritual encouragements and influences, but even if those things are not there, Lord, help us to continue in the truth. Lord, only then will we love your appearing. Only then will we be able to say, like Paul, that we've finished our course, we've kept the faith. Help us to do that. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you personally made the decision to turn to Jesus Christ from your sins, to follow him? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior tonight? How many could say, preacher, as I examine my heart, I may not be able to say that I'm everything that I desire to be as a Christian, but I do know this, I am a Christian. It is personal for me. It is real for me. I have personally received Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. If you have that assurance tonight, would you raise your hand? You'd say, yes, I'm trusting Christ. Thank you so much. If you're here tonight and you were not able to raise your hand, maybe you've never made that decision personal. Would you do that right now? God has already provided. He's already done all the work. He leaves it, the decision to you, to trust in him. Is there anyone tonight that would say, preacher, that's what I'm going to do? And God has spoken to my heart, and right here, right now, as best as I know how, as best as I understand, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. If that's your decision, would you raise your hand? You'd say, yes, tonight I would like to trust Christ. All right, Christian, are you first of all heeding the instruction of God's Word? Are you responding positively to the godly influences He's placed in your life? Even again, even though there are faults, there are failures in all earthly teachers, all earthly influences, are you committed to doing right in the Lord's sight even when no one else sees you? Even when there are no outward constraints, no outward influences, are you committed to doing right? Are there any high places, any areas of worldliness and spiritual or moral compromise which need to be removed from your life so that you can live in fellowship with the Lord and not fall short of your spiritual potential and fruitfulness? Again, may it be said of us that we do right in the sight of the Lord, and may there not be an asterisk. May there not be the but there, but that we just do right and just live all out for God, not holding on to anything for ourselves, but just doing His will, loving Him. And then would you, as a Christian, commit to continue in the truth for as long as you live? Have you ever told the Lord that? Lord Jesus, I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Are you that committed tonight? Lord, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts through your word. May we not only be hearers, but doers of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.